The TNT Shop has great gift ideas for your furry family member. And we don't mean your Aunt Dolores.
You stink!
The TNT Shop has it all. At TNTRadio.live. You're listening to Abby Roberts on today's News Talk, TNT.
Well, hello world, it is me again. Yes, it's me. I don't know what happened. There was a bit of a bit of an 80s video going on. Like I went, I was like I was on Top of the Pops. Yes, I'm Abby Roberts. This is the Abby Roberts Drive Time Show, 5 to 7, right here on today's News Talk, TNT. Quite literally, Dan-a-ma-ti. I used to be at 8 o'clock in the morning. I used to be a morning bird, but I'm very, very definitely now an early evening kind of cruise into the evening, maybe have a cup of tea and then maybe graduate to something a little bit stronger. I quite like a sherry, actually, a bit of a sherry around about 6 o'clock. Very, very British drink, isn't it? Having a sherry. And we have to do that with your little finger when you're drinking. This sherry is most delicious, or whatever floats your boat. Some of you might want a tequila, margarita, whatever you fancy. Red wine, I don't really care, as long as you're enjoying yourself while you're watching this show. Watching me sweat under the lights, sometimes forget where the hell I am and what I'm saying, but it's all part of live radio / TV, because that's what this is, and that's why we love it. And I love the fact that you guys are watching and listening. Sorry about the live chat off at the moment. A bit of a technical glitch, but that should be on tomorrow or the next day once it's been fixed. But, you know, we're here. It's London I'm broadcasting from. It's around about, just gone about 6 minutes past five in the evening. Still getting a little bit darker, but still much lighter than it was, so less depressing. Because let's be honest, guys, it is beyond depressing when you wake up and you just go, oh no, it's still pitch black. I've got to go to work. So I hope wherever you are in the world, you are enjoying this, whether it's United States of America, maybe some New Yorkers are watching it. I don't know. Then I haven't heard from many New Yorkers or wherever you are, maybe in other parts of the United States. Maybe you're watching from Russia, if you are, dobry vecher. Maybe in France, maybe it's a little bit... Oh, actually, no, you probably are okay in France to be watching this. So, bonjour, bonsoir. Italy, maybe. Buonasera. No, I think that's Italian. Yes, buonasera. I was questioning myself then, going, is that Italian? I think it is. You know, it's amazing. When you've got different languages, you speak... It's weird how they all just go... In your head. Geordie, any Geordies watching? Wayay man. Welcome everybody to the Abby Roberts Show. Yeah, so great show yesterday, great guests, fantastic. We covered so much stuff. It was incredible. We had Phil Zimmerman, Basil Valentine doing the news. We had the wonderful Miri Ann Finch, who is superb, and of course Nick Cotton, wonderful guests. And we've got some great guests coming up for you today as well, covering a lot of stuff, a lot of different stuff, the gender woo-woo, all that kind of business, American politics. You know something, considering I'm not a journalist, I have to cover a lot of stuff, you know what I'm saying? A lot of topical stuff. My mother was a journalist, so was my father. They actually met on the South Wales Echo. So I did grow up in a journalistic household, keeping my ears and eyes open for different stories. And of course, journalism now is utter shite because they just peddle the narrative. They don't go, what's wrong with this picture? As my mother used to say, that was her famous phrase. Favourite phrase is, what's wrong with this picture? And funnily enough, that's exactly what happened when the Princess of Wales released the photo that hadn't been photoshopped and then suddenly had been photoshopped. That is exactly an example of what's wrong with this picture. So any budding journalists out there, if you're young and you're hungry to be a journalist, use that as your motto, because you can't go wrong if you think about it. If you're looking at it thinking, whether it's a literal photograph or a story, so that person's put that. That doesn't really make any sense. Or read between the lines, you know. And now it's like, yeah, that's definitely true. Yeah, because the government's approved it. And that's not good journalism, and it never has been. So We've got, like I said, cracking show coming up for you to later on. Well, starting now, but obviously some guests coming on. And I wanted to tell you a little story, because I've had some flack. Well, when you're over the target, that's when the flak increases, as they used to say in World War II, and it's very definitely true. Somebody saying that I talk too much about vaccine injuries, COVID-19 vaccine injuries, to which I say, up yours, I'll keep talking about it until I literally am on my last legs, because if people don't understand the severity of the crime that has been committed against the world population, then you're asleep. You haven't got it. You haven't got it at all. If you're thinking, oh, yes, councils, oh, yes, various different things. Of course, they're all very serious things going on with the climate change and all that kind of nonsense, that bollocks. But we're talking about people who have been systematically murdered by the state. I can't see anything more important than that, can you? If you can, feel free to write to me, Abby Roberts at tntradio.live. And obviously, as the live chat off, you can't go on there. You can call me if you want, and you can go old school. And let's have a little look at these are the numbers to call.
This is the way we're going to be heard.
From the U.S. and Canada, call 1-888-201-6425. From the U.K., call 033-0024-1026. And from Australia and New Zealand, call 1-800-670-310. Free speech is alive and well on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Live and free and awake. Yes, that's what I am. And you have to stick to your principles, guys. There's no use going, oh, yes, I'm really concerned about global tyranny if you're still if you're paying for things with your Apple phone and your watch. Yes, I'm totally against tyranny and being spied on by the state. But I'm now going to make it much easier for them by using all the stuff that they want us to use, so that we're trapped. Have a little think about it. I mean, I'm guilty. I do have an iPhone. I don't use anything like that to pay for stuff or whatever. I did buy a watch, and then it used to annoy me. I was like, I don't want this on my wrist, because it's tracking me. It's quite literally tracking me, my watch. Anyway, I digress, because I was going to tell you a story about vaccine injury. Some people may know that at the end of last year, or it may have been the year before, no, I think it was end of 22, I released a book, I released an e-book called We the People, which had illustrations in it by Bob Moran and the ex-Telegraph cartoonist, who was sacked basically because he spoke out far too much about the COVID nonsense. And I had lots of emails written to me, stories sent to me, people's narratives. It's being made into another version, which I'm hoping, cross fingers, should be coming sometime, I'm hoping, before the election or thereabouts, so we can throw it to people who need to bloody read it. Yes, they do. When I go around London and I'm sort of doing my whatever I'm doing, I do get into conversation with people. I'll tell you a little conversation I had with a man who worked in a shop in Covent Garden. I won't name the shop, I won't name the person, just in case, to protect his privacy. But I was just noodling around and shop assistant, and we get chatting, and I talk about cash and the fact that why can't people use cash anymore and oh, blah, blah, blah. So he was saying, oh, you know, you can use cash in here. And I said, OK, but the thing is, well, you know, and then it got on to COVID. It's like to COVID. And out of the blue, this guy said, I really, really regret having the vaccines. Now, in most cases, I'll be chatting to somebody, and it can be a taxi driver, somebody working in a shop, Tesco delivery, whoever it is, we'll be chatting away, and then, you know, the subject of vaccines may come up, and then they either, whatever. This came out of the blue. So he thought, because of what I said, he thought, I can trust this person, I'm going to, just in a split second, I think he thought, I'm going to tell her. So we had a 10-minute conversation, He told me that he was very healthy, 56 years old, had never really been ill at all, nothing serious. And then in the spate of about the last 6 months, so Christmas time, bronchitis, and then very bad flu on the trot. And he said, do you think it's a coincidence? And I said, honestly, no, I don't think it is. And we got into conversation about we the people, the stuff that I, the work I'd done, other people, you know, what's been exposed around the world about these COVID-19 vaccines, coercion, Nuremberg code. And I said to him, well, we will, there will be justice, you know, that justice is coming, because a lot of us are, have not stopped talking about it, whether it's on GB News or Twitter or any other part of social media, you know, you name it, we have been like a kind of tsunami, growing army of people, including, by the way, people who've had them, the vaccine. So I personally haven't, I didn't have any, and I told him that. And no, there's no glee in my voice. There's no kind of like, oh yes, you know, because I haven't had them. There's none of that. There is only a deep feeling of anger and sadness when you're talking to somebody who is clearly worried. So we got to chatting, we carried on chatting, and he said to me, I mentioned mRNA, the technology that's used in these new vaccines, experimental vaccines. And he said, oh yes, I've just been emailing a friend about that, about mRNA. Now, this has been not common knowledge amongst our circles, the more awake, shall we say. People have been down the rabbit hole. James Dellingpole, et cetera, who was very vocal about it quite early on. And that, but now we're talking March 2024. So that's, what's that, 21, 22, 23, 23 and a bit years later, too late. And I said, he seemed really, really concerned. He said, I've noticed I'm just not, you know, as well as being ill with bronchitis, he said, I'm just not myself. I'm not, and I just know that it is. And I said, well, and I touched his arm and I said, well, the cavalry's coming. So please, please don't worry. Try not to worry. There will be things that can, I mean, I was trying to say stuff to him that would reassure him that there are things that will counteract the spike proteins. As I was saying, I thought, this is surreal. This is utterly surreal, because there was a time 2-3 years ago when people knew I hadn't been vaccinated, they were like, get away from us, you selfish, selfish granny killer. You conspiracy theorist, whatever the hell. Lost friends over it. But this guy, it was like a very personal, how do I say it? Like being in a confessional in a church. It was very, but bear in mind, we're in a busy shop. We're in a, you know, people milling, doing their thing or whatever. And it's just the two of us, very a private moment. And like I said, I put my arm on his and I said, well, you know, all the best, and I'll come back and see you another time, and I'll tell you about where you can register the yellow card scheme and your vaccine damage. I said, because you're not alone. You're not alone. Trust me, you're not alone. And I left the shop, bustling, busy shop in Covent Garden, and I just burst into tears. I just felt absolutely just the lowest I felt in a very, very long time, because this was somebody who I didn't know. We weren't really talking about, you know, the full thing from 2020. He just offered the information. So thank you to him for, and if there's other people out there, I know there will be. Like I said, there are many people working very hard, very, very hard to try and reverse this, to find ways to, for a start, bring these people to justice. And I'm talking about the coercion measures that were used. The coercion is the crime, by the way, the coercive measures, and the experimental gene therapy is the second part of the crime. Because, yes, people were threatened, vilified, they were bullied and badgered into having this thing. So it will not go unpunished, not as long as I am living and breathing. And if they don't get punished in this life, then pray God they get punished in the next. So a little bit more serious than I was expecting. But you know something? I am a comedian. I've been a gigging comedian for, over 10 years, 10, 15 years. But this is, if you don't take this seriously, there's something wrong with you. And there you go. So coming up very, very shortly, I have my first guest, who is, let me just have a quick check here on the... I think he's a Trevor Fitzgibbon. That's it, Trevor Fitzgibbon. It's okay. It's because I was so, into my story. Trevor Fitzgibbon will be coming up very, very shortly after this break. Don't go anywhere or I'll come round and put a wind farm in your garden. I'm Abby Roberts. This is TNT.
TNT's David Curtin.
In my mind, government spending in the UK is absolutely horrendous. It has got completely out of control over the last 14 years of Conservative rule and 13 years before that of Labour rule. You would probably be astounded if you actually knew how much the government spent. In this financial year, these are the figures, the estimate for how much it wants to spend on everything or how much it needs to spend is £1.2 trillion or £1.2 million, if you like, which is an amount of money that we cannot really comprehend.
David Curtin on today's News Talk, TNT. A better business tip from TNT Radio. News Talk Radio listeners are some of the most active and involved listeners of any format. TNT Radio listeners rely on TNT Radio often as their primary source of information. They trust TNT Radio and are highly engaged with the content. If you'd like more information about advertising on TNT Radio, simply fill out your details on our contact page and we'll be in touch. To find out more, go to tntradio.live.
Are you sitting comfortably?
Oh, yes, yes.
Then I'll begin.
Even when you're just sitting around, we're rocking the talk.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Well, hello there. Howdy doody. I am back with my first guest, whose name I'm going to get right now, Trevor Fitzgibbon. It was that awful moment where I was like, I know the name. Ah, yes. Trevor Fitzgibbon, welcome to the Abby Roberts Drive Time Show. How are you, my friend?
Very, very well. It's an honor to be here. Thank you for having me.
Bless you, my child. that just came out. So whereabouts are you, Trevor, in the United States?
I am in South Carolina today.
South Carolina. South Carolina. Fantastic. Which is where Trump has been, hasn't he, quite recently? When was he there? A couple of weeks ago, was it?
Yeah, Trump is here. This is the home of Nikki Haley, who just dropped out of the race. Charleston, South Carolina, great beaches, beautiful, very slow and southern, you know.
Yeah.
Just like our politics. That's a joke.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I was going to say there's so much going on. It's absolutely crazy. And of course, you have got a decrepit old, almost like a cartoon character from Up, you know, the cartoon Up in the White House, which is actually crazy for us, you know, for us Brits. So tell us, Trevor, what it is you, I mean, I'm reading now from your Twitter, you're an intelligencer, PR for human rights, whistleblowers, environment. So tell me about those things. What about those things really floats you, you know, fires you up?
Well, it all does. everything does. I think today the primary focus is, I serve on the editorial board of a publication that just launched recently called Intelligencer.today. And it's a great publication that its job is to really dismantle information operations. And one of the founder of it is a gentleman named George Eliason, who has been a host on the show on TNT in the past. George is based in the Donbass and is somebody who has been providing probably the best coverage of information operations coming out of Ukraine over the past decade. Everything from Russian hacking to the narrative that we hear in the United States and in the West about Ukraine and how wonderful Zelensky is for democracy and how awful Putin is, right? So we get a lot of great information from him, and he has this incredible network of other editorial members that are around the world. He just published an article that has come out that really kind of documents the OCCRP, which actually stands for the Organized Crime. It stands for the Organized Crime and Reporting Project. And this is a joint venture that's international. It's backed by George Soros.
Yeah,
as well.
George Soros, yeah, that lovely guy, yeah.
And the U.S. State Department.
Right.
And it's designed to drive narratives in the media throughout the West so that what you see on your evening television are narratives and reports that come out of this entity, which we believe is it's very biased. It's 100% designed to drive the U.S. State Department narrative on issues such as Gaza, Palestine, Israel, Ukraine, Russia. And they also destroy a lot of lives. And they recently have just gone after Hollywood Academy Award winner Oliver Stone and Igor Lapotonik, who is one of his producers. Igor has done some incredible films with Oliver, Ukraine on Fire, Revealing Ukraine, and others that really kind of get the truth out there.
Yeah. Is amazing. Ukraine on Fire is excellent. And Oliver Stone, I mean, how do people like Oliver Stone even survive in Hollywood, considering that? I mean, I thought what's interesting is I thought considering that Hollywood's meant to be fairly liberal, they don't seem to be that liberal, do they, with the with getting to the truth of stuff. That's what I find interesting.
It's interesting. I feel like in the past 10 years, the political parties have almost flipped. You know, I have grown up my entire life as a leftist and represented everybody from Julian Assange to Bradley Manning, Chelsea Manning, lot of whistleblowers, and as we discuss human rights and environmental campaigns. But today, I never would have thought the Democratic Party, you know, and the Democratic President Joe Biden would be the pro-war party, or the party standing against free speech and supporting censorship. There's a massive case that the Supreme Court is going to be hearing on the 18th on Monday in Washington, D.C., and that is a number of people have sued the Biden administration, including one of my clients, RFK Jr., I do help for the Super PAC, but Robert F. Kennedy Jr. and others have sued the Biden administration for pressuring big tech companies like Twitter and other companies to deplatform critics of COVID policy or the war in Ukraine, et cetera. There's going to be thousands of people there in Washington. So, yeah, that's our party now.
Amazing.
A lot of people are lost. They don't know where to go.
Yeah, it's really interesting. When I spoke to somebody yesterday about the Democrats, I remember reading though that they were quite, I mean, as far as Joe Biden concerned, didn't he have quite close ties with Jim Crow and the Ku Klux Klan? Isn't there a very, very shady side to the Democrats, which a bit inconvenient, shall we say, to reveal to people?
That probably is true. There's a lot of inconvenience that a lot of people are dealing with now. One of the things that I find so almost comical is that the Democrats spent, you know, 8 years or 4 years trying to demonize Donald Trump and vilify him and associate him with white supremacists. And then the Democrats get elected to the presidency and Joe Biden's a president. And then what's the very first thing he does is, you know, bait Russia into a war, right, with Ukraine, and ally ourselves in Ukraine with literal white supremacists, with the Azov Battalion, right?
Yes.
That are literal Nazis. So none of this stuff gets lost on me, but I feel like it gets lost on a lot of the public. And I think that's because of the power of these information operations. And that's where the OC, this, you know, this OCCP comes in.
Yeah. And it's interesting because we do have something similar here. The News Initiative, I think that's it. It may have a fuller title than that, but that's it. Yeah. Trusted News Initiative. You know, the TN, actually, weirdly, yes, TNI, not TNT here. So what do you think has happened with the with how news is disseminated? What's happened there? Because my parents were journalists, right? So I was always, you know, and they loved Norman Mailer, you know, they loved all these people that were like, you know, oh, let's bust open this story that's happening, whether it's you know, Watergate or other things, Suez, for instance. Right. What the hell has happened to make journalists go, yes, we'll do anything you say to the government?
Well, you know, I think, again, this is the power of information operations, and you have media controlled by fewer and fewer people. And right. when you have this type of conglomerate power that is influenced and at its center is partnering with governments like the State Department is, and then you have interests such as George Soros and others, you've got this, you can't tell fact from reality, and there's no dissent even allowed. And so it doesn't bode well. I think that when Trump was elected, there was, you know, people weren't used to having a president who tweets, for example, and he upset the apple cart in a major way. And so I think that you had a lot of the media take it upon themselves to say, we can no longer be objective journalists, we need to be biased journalists. And because of that, what you see today in the news, in mainstream news, whereas 20 years, 30 years before Dan Rather, you know, CBS, NBC, you would get straight up facts. Today, what you get is straight up bias. And it's very difficult for the public to see. But that's why I think that this is the first election. This is kind of the election of the podcast, you know. Before the last election, it was kind of the election of Twitter. Before that, the election of cable. This is the election of the podcast. You have so many independents on the rise in the United States and around the world where people don't identify with either party. And I think a lot of these people are getting their media, getting their news from independent media and podcasts.
Yeah. So we're seeing a kind of a really interesting media landscape, aren't we? We are going back to, I mean, do you think it might be difficult to answer as a leftist, but do you think that actually what's happened is
that
we're,
anymore.
Exactly. I was going to say, yes, exactly. Me too. I'm kind of like, am I a small C conservative? I don't know. Am I a libertarian? Do those words mean anything anymore? Which is interesting. But I do look at the world and sort of think it is interesting how I remember maybe even 15 years ago, nobody could ever say they admired Margaret Thatcher. Nobody at a dinner party. If you said you admired Margaret Thatcher, there'd be this terrible kind of tutting silence. But you could say you admired Lenin or Chairman Mao. Mao, who loved basically having people murdered. You know, sorry, I'm laughing nervously. But, you know, what the hell is that about?
I think I was listening to Stand Down Margaret by the English Beat back then. I was a little kid. I can't remember.
You can't remember? Oh, hang on a minute. How old does that make me? I'm actually 106.
I'm 78 incredible. Now, so I don't know.
You're 78. You're looking great. Looking great. Must be that South Carolina air doing
South
it for you.
Carolina sun.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, I do find it interesting that there, I think for a long time, didn't we? We lived under this, I felt we did in Britain, this kind of thing of like, you can't really speak the truth. You can't really say what you mean. Is that because we don't have a First Amendment?
I don't know. I don't know what the First Amendment gets you these days in the United States. You know,
it's true.
There is no there's free speech with a cost, right? And look at just the number of whistleblowers that have gone public, whose lives have been destroyed, you know, because of what the government does. And so it's a difficult time. You know, you've got to be careful. But I think that you always have to find those truth tellers out there and really go to them, listen to them. I think TNT does a fantastic job having hosts and having guests on that speak the truth. I listen to a lot of Glenn Greenwald, Michael Schellenberger, Matt Taibbi, Kim Iverson over here in the United States, Logan, Cheryl Atkinson. There's a handful of journalists that are really getting the truth out. And, you know, as I said, the editor of the Intelligencer.today, George Eliason, is, you know, I respect as much as any journalist. He's phenomenal.
Yeah. And it's really, no, it's great. It's I agree with you. I think this is an exciting time, isn't it? For us all to be here going, well, we're here telling the truth, and there's nobody censoring us or saying, yeah, I'm afraid you can't say you once admired Margaret Thatcher or you think Trump's the answer to some of America's problems. Do you think that Trump is the answer?
Well, I'm a big supporter of Robert F. Kennedy Jr. So I think there's too much partisanship, and we need somebody who can unite the country. And I think RFK Jr. can. I think that you know, he has an education that no other candidate has ever had. He saw his father murdered in front of him, and he saw his uncle murdered in person. So it's like you don't have that kind of education. He's fought from the outside. He's sued Monsanto. He's won against some of the biggest corporations in the world. He's taken on Big Pharma. He's won. You notice Big Pharma and a lot of the mainstream media like to blacklist RFK Jr. and to say that he's all about disinformation, right? If he was all about disinformation, how come he's never been sued by Big Pharma? How come Pfizer and none of these big pharmaceutical corporations who he goes after have ever been able to sue him? Because he tells the truth, you know?
Yeah, quite. I tell you what, I was thinking about Robert F.K. The other day, actually talking to somebody on here. I tell you, I admire him greatly, especially with his stance. I don't know if you heard my rant about the COVID vaccines, because that's the drum that I will keep beating until the day I drop dead.
I almost died from COVID. Yes,
you almost died from COVID.
Before the vaccine.
Really?
Yeah. I went to. I was coming back from Washington. This is after the election, about 4 years ago. I went to Duke, to the emergency room at Duke University in North Carolina. They took me in, diagnosed me with severe COVID and severe pneumonia, and after 45 minutes, sent me on my way with no prescriptions, nothing at all.
Right.
I made it back to my hotel. I was chasing my last breath, dying. Talked to my doctor. He was livid that they hadn't prescribed me anything. He called back Duke, said, listen, you need to get this guy. He's about to die. You need to give him this protocol. I went back. They gave me the protocol, saved my life. But when I thought, I was in the ICU for 8 nights. And when I got out, I thought about how many millions, hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people died because they weren't prescribed early treatment, right?
That's insane, isn't it? It's like, I mean, even if it was, remove COVID out of the equation, just pneumonia. It's like you would give antibiotics, intravenous antibiotics. I mean, that's mad, isn't it, to do that?
Yeah. Well, they had all these monoclonal antibodies just sitting on the shelves of hospitals all around the United States, and they weren't prescribing them because they were so wedded to this damn vaccine because of all the money Big Pharma was making, you know? And so, it's been crazy.
Wow. Well, I'm sorry to hear about that. I mean, that's, you know, really, really terrifying experience. And but like you said, you know, Big Pharma and Big Pharma, you know, when I've been in America, and by the way, I love when I've ever been to the States. I was actually going to move to the States and then met my late husband. So it's kind of like a weird, it was like we would do, you know, like this, like sliding doors. So I could have been living in Gavin Newsom's California. Would have been woohoo! Can you imagine me there? I would have lasted very long. Do you?
With the price of fentanyl these days in San Francisco, you know, it's awful, man. I mean, it's so horrific. I work with a great group, Mothers Against Drug Deaths, and a lot of their kids have died or are on the streets, all fentanyl addiction. I mean, the whole city looks completely different, totally transformed. I think that's the biggest reason why he didn't run for president, you know, as a Democrat or at all, because I don't think he could have escaped those images of these tent cities and people dying on the streets throughout San Francisco.
So. Yeah. It's really, honestly, it breaks my heart when the whole, you know, the Black Lives Matter, well, when it ramped up, you know, from sort of like 2020 onwards, and then I saw San Francisco that I've spent great times in. I recorded an album in San Francisco, and then I just look at it and go, what are you doing? What have you done? You've literally just shat on a great place.
Same way. Portland, Oregon's the same way. I used to go to Portland all the time. I love that town. It's a great. Yeah. I worked for a member of Congress there for her reelection back in 1996, and it was awesome. Today, it's like a mini San Francisco. It's horrific.
Yeah, just really, really, really. I mean, very sad. And but I mean, do you have hope that America can spring up again, can rise again? You know,
I have no hope. No, I do.
Can you imagine if that's how we ended the interview? Anyway, thanks ever so much. Just really depressing everybody.
I do. I think that the public's starting to wake up now. And I think that I think it'll be in time for the election. I don't think Biden's going to win. You know, I just don't. Not unless they steal it. But I think the only way they can steal it, it would have to be really egregious. And if that's the case. Right, then there's going to be an uprising. I mean, there's no way he can win. I just fundamentally don't believe that. I think we could actually have a contingent election. I think right now, if people were to go to the polls based on the polling today, Bobby Kennedy would likely block either Trump or Biden of being able to get enough delegates to win outright. Then it would become a contingent election and it goes to the U.S. House of Representatives.
Yes. I concur with that. But I mean, you know, all the best, America, because I mean, you know, I've spent some great times in you. Seriously, that's one of the reasons, you know,
I don't know where to go anymore. I mean, exactly. I kind of want to go to New Zealand or something, but they've got horrible surveillance. I mean, you can go to Australia,
We'd probably be better off in Moscow. But we have to finish there, my love. Trevor, it's been so great having you. Will you come back on with some of your South Carolina charm?
I would be honored to.
I don't even know what accent that was. I think it was South Carolina. I'm not even sure. Okay, well, love, take care of yourself. God bless you. God bless America. And, that was a bit cheesy. I'll speak to you soon. Okay, take care. And that was wonderful, Trevor Fitzgibbon. Wonderful. Any minute now, I think we should be, there should be another guest coming up, Jack David. But first of all, I think we're going to go to a little break. So do not go anywhere, or I'll send Joe Biden round to your house to sniff your kids. I'm Abby Roberts.
This world is TNT. Changing, withering, dying by the hands of those who don't value nature, even though we all depend on it for life itself. But there is hope. Together with caring friends, the Nature Conservancy can restore our lands, heal our waters, and save our wildlife. With big solutions only nature can provide. But every day we lose more of the places we love, and we urgently need to save endangered lands, waters, and wild species. The actions we take today will determine the tomorrow we leave to our children and grandchildren. The water they drink, the air they breathe, the beauty they experience. To learn more about how you can help protect and conserve our beautiful world, visit nature.org today.
Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome. Prediabetes does. 1 in 3 adults has prediabetes, but with early diagnosis, prediabetes can be reversed. And you can change the outcome. Take the 1 minute pre-diabetes risk test today. Go to doihaveprediabetes.org.
Thanks for listening and for being a part of the Abby Roberts Show on today's News Talk, TNT.
It was huge. Hello. Abby Roberts. And this is the Abby Roberts Drive Time Show 5 to 7. Good grief. I've been speaking to a very, very attractive man called Trevor Fitzgibbon, who was in South Carolina, who said, I think you're fantastic. I went, yeah, I know, I agree. And coming up, we have also have another very, very attractive, delectable man who's been on before, Mr. Jack David. Hello, Jack.
How are you? Okay.
Yes, I'm good. It's weird, isn't it? I've seen you first thing in the morning, and then now I'm seeing you at a kind of like, what would you call this? Kind of cocktail hour.
This is tea time in the north.
Tea time. What have you had for tea, love? What did you shove down your gullet?
Nothing yet. Nothing yet. Later
nothing
on
yet.
For me. No, later on for me.
What are you having?
Do you know what? I've no idea. My other half's sorting it. I'll leave it to him. I just go and clean the kitchen up later on. Because the bombs hit it.
Yeah, I was gonna say, like literally stuff like tomato ketchup on the walls. That would be if I came round. Now, let's have first of all. Actually, I'm going to start with some good news, which you will probably know. Children will no longer be prescribed puberty blockers at gender identity clinics. NHS England has confirmed.
Yeah, literally just both
thoughts on that.
Just both news. It's great news, but. From my point of view, puberty is the same whether you're in England, Wales or Scotland, but Scotland is still lagging behind on this. You know, England and Wales, yeah. Now we're not going to do it, which is absolutely great news. So, in effect, now the trans kid has just died as a concept in England and Wales, which is great because they don't exist. But now yeah. it's time to move to Scotland because we need to move on with things there now because these kids are still in danger up north.
Up north, exactly. And also, as I read it, I sort of think to myself, crikey, we've set quite a low bar for ourselves, haven't we? If we're going, woohoo, we're not going to pump kids full of bloody exactly experimental drugs. On that note, let's have a little look at this person in action. Well, I think we fair to say one of our favourite people. We absolutely love him. Roll this clip, please. The first clip, Anoop.
Are we okay?
No, we're not, okay? Fine. I'm gonna say this once, and I would just like everyone to respect me. I spent 50 years of my life trapped in the wrong body, and despite any of these misconceptions and rubbish stories that you read in the press, you know, that, oh, it's just a lifestyle choice and what have you, it's not, okay? I felt extremely trapped. I am the transgender person here, and I am annoyed. It's not acceptable.
Would you like me to leave? Would you?
I'm just explaining
to you. No, I'm explaining something to you.
That was
an accident.
I'm sorry. You're being very aggressive here. You've just called me a name in there.
I'm just defending myself.
You're defending yourself. You've just...
Ashley, come on. India. India.
You just misnamed.
Sorry.
Listen.
Look, let's all chill.
Yeah. I can understand why.
I understand why you feel upset.
Look, and can I just say something? I don't want to be patronised. I don't want to tap on the head. I am sure there are people in this room now who, when I've been upstairs, said, oh, I don't know what all the fuss is about. It's no big deal. I'm in here as a woman, okay?
I agree with that.
Not a he, a she. A woman, okay? I'm a real woman, Amanda. I want you to know that.
Yes,
a real woman, okay? I'm glad that's sinking in. I'm going to say it one more time so it really penetrates. I am a real woman, okay?
Holy shitballs. I mean, for a bit of context, that was 2018 in the Celebrity Big Brother house. India Willoughby, born John, and with ex-Prime Minister's Boris Johnson's, Rachel Johnson was in there, and Anne Widdecombe's face. And yeah. I can't remember the names of the other people. Do you know, is it Amanda? Oh,
Amanda
it was on
Barry.
Coronation Street. That's it, Amanda Barry.
Yeah.
And Ashley Roberts, was it? Not Ashley Roberts, she's the pussycat doll, isn't she? Anyway, so somebody, thoughts on that clip?
Well, he's just a big bully, isn't he? And nothing's changed. This is, I mean, he was showing himself for who he was all those years ago. So why anyone's shocked at the way he behaves now, like with J.K. Rowling? I don't know if you've seen the it's hard to miss it, really, the hoo-ha on Twitter at the moment with him and J.K. Rowling.
Yes.
But he has goaded that woman for years and years and years. And she's been told, you know, by several, by her law team that she, you know, she has a good case for defamation against him. She just didn't want to give him the, you know, the publicity. She didn't want to give him the time because that's what he's after. What he wants to do is no one is booking him on TV anymore. That's a fact. You know, what was he on the other day? Was it The Undateables or something along those, like First Date, something like that. I don't watch rubbish like that. But, you know, that's where he is now. No one wants him on the shows as a panelist anymore because he's just so toxic. But the way he speaks to women day in, day out is absolutely disgusting. And the whole thing about him being misgendered, he does it day in, day out himself. Like, he's constantly calling women men. These look like men to me. What's the, you know, it's okay for him. But I love the fact that he went to the police and they told him to jog on. That was great news.
Okay, well, that's good news. I mean, ridiculous. And like you said, and you know, he's blocked me, literally, like, I'm not even sure if I had any interaction, but it was literally like, oh, I seem to have been blocked. And but what was interesting about, and bear in mind, that's 2018, did you notice, well, in that clip, I'm sure you did notice because you're very observant with these things, that the women disappoint Ashley, the younger one, went, oh, no, I've totally respect, totally get it. It's like, really?
Well, this the thing was, they were like backing down for him, weren't they? They were like trying to be nice, and that's not good enough for him because he doesn't want that. It's a victim mentality. So what he wants is to be constantly on the fight against you all the time, on, you know, going against you. He's not interested in your apology. He'll take you straight back to the thing that's upset him, and then that's all he wants to make it about, a big drama about it. But that's indeed will it be to a T.
Yes, exactly. And as you said, and what's weird is there's a person standing telling a lie in a room of people. So if I imagine we're at a party and I come in and I go, yeah, I've actually been Asian now for 20 years. Yeah. And you'd be like, no, that's definitely not the case. Definitely objectively not the case. So why are you lying? And then I'd probably be carted off. To a bloody loony bin.
Well, yeah, and not just that. He's actually attacked transgender people himself. So people who disagree with him, he's called them a bloke. He actually, on Debbie Hayton, he actually was death on him. You know, so this guy's got no room to stand, no leg to stand on, no room to talk whatsoever. He's just a big bully. And when he doesn't get his own way, he kicks off. But what he's hoping for by attacking like high profile people such as J.K. Rowling, Ricky Gervais, these sorts of things, it's social engagement on Twitter for him. And what he's hoping is that someone picks up on that engagement and is there a story there? Like Byline Times did the other day, who have now completely backtracked after they got his bottom kick, shall we say, by J.K. Rowling. And, you know, she very gracefully accepted his apology when, you know, he was calling her the C-word.
Yes.
Quite regularly the other night.
I didn't notice that.
Yeah, she forgave him because she said, you know, we've all been there, we've all said it, because she's got grace, so she's done that. But people like India Willoughby, there's no grace there whatsoever, but he's no more a woman than I am. And that's a fact.
Yeah. Absolutely, absolutely correct. And really, really, really vicious. And so what do you think? I mean, I was speaking to the American guy just before, Trevor Fitzgibbon, and I was speaking to an American a bit later on. Why do you think this all started in America? What went on there whenever it was? I think it was 2005. I think it was quite far back, wasn't it, when all this was kind of percolating through?
That's probably the country that I'm most shocked about, because when I was growing up as a kid, they were so patriotic, so religious. Yeah. You know, it was the last country I ever saw going like that. They were very conservative. Even when they had a so-called left-wing government in power over there, they were still fairly right-wing compared to our left-wing over here, you know, in Europe.
Yes.
It's a social contagion that's just gone too far. Social media's ramped it up massively. But every single institution just seems completely captured by it, you know, from top to bottom. Yeah. And it's going to be hard to unravel, but we're here to do it. We're not going anywhere until it's done.
Yeah, exactly. We're here. And, you know, we're little changes. I mean, what do you think about, because, I mean, when I read the thing about puberty blockers, NHS not going to be giving them in gender identity clinics, even the phrase gender identity clinics makes me go, ugh. What do you think about that?
Well, the problem is it's the privatised ones. I mean, I've just spent the last 2 years being called a bigot, a Nazi, just because I suggested that we don't know enough about these drugs. you know, and we certainly, you know, if you listen to the transitioner stories, it's a completely different story than the ones that you're told by so-called experts. But the problem is advocates of gender affirming care will argue that it's all evidence based. But if you look at the WPATH release, you know, the files that were released recently, it's anything but. It really is. It's neither medical nor scientific. It's guesswork by activists at best. And it's absolutely reeks of gay conversion 2.0. And I truly believe we've got something more sinister going on here. 80 to 90% of these kids receiving this treatment are same-sex attracted. It's the literal definition of transing the gay away. And the American, you know, touching on you saying America, the American Medical Association, the Endocrine Society, the American Academy of Pediatrics, thousands and thousands of doctors around the world, including those within our own NHS, have taken guidance from these people. And they're considered the global authority on gender-affirming care, but the leaks on the internal files show it's just a bunch of zealots experimenting on kids and creating lifelong victims for Big Pharma.
Yeah. Extraordinary. There is another clip, very, very short, I want to play to do with, well, very worrying, again, out of America. Can we play the second clip, please, Anoop? It's a little short one.
Are your granddaughters? They are 6 and 8. Would you support them to get hormone blockers to become the other gender?
I would absolutely support them to get hormone blockers. The idea of one of my granddaughters learning that they're going to start having their period if they don't get their hormones blocked, even though they're identifying and portraying as a male, how horrible that would be. So yes, definitely.
If your granddaughter came to you and wanted to get a tattoo, what would you say?
That would be more difficult. I always told my three sons, the one thing I ask is please don't get tattoos.
Really? Why tattoos?
There's just something so permanent about it.
Permanent?
It's pretty permanent. It's very difficult to get them lasered off or removed.
You don't think it's like permanent to change your gender?
Doesn't know what to say.
I'm genuinely lost for words. So a tattoo's too permanent. I just want to assure everyone at home, if you cut your penis and your testicles off, it's extremely permanent. It's no less permanent than a tattoo, I promise you. And these drugs that they're taking as well, they are causing all sorts of problems. They're, you know, this is sterilization, loss of sexual function, liver tumors, and death in some cases, all extremely permanent from these drugs that they're taking. That's just a load of nonsense. If you would give a six-year-old those drugs, then I'm sorry, you need locking up. There's something seriously wrong with you.
Because if people miss the beginning of that clip, the grandchildren were 6 and 8. Now I have to say, I don't know if absolutely that clip is 100%, genuine. I mean, it looks genuine to me. What are your thoughts? Because I did suddenly think to myself, are people really saying this stuff, Jack?
Have you ever heard of Helen Webberly, Dr. Helen Webberly? And I say that in inverted commas. Yeah. This is the type of stuff they come out with every day. And they openly admit on these files, on the WPATH files, that they know that many of the children and the parents don't understand the effects that puberty blockers, hormones and surgeries will have on the bodies. But it hasn't stopped them carrying out life-changing procedures on vulnerable kids and adults in any way. But what it does show is gender-affirming care is a fallacy. And it's built on lies and of the lies of gender butchers looking to turn a profit. That's exactly what it looks like. It's nothing more than pseudoscience hoping for the best with no thought or care when it goes horribly wrong for these poor kids. You know, like I said, I'll pin a post on my Twitter, FFS underscore what now, on Twitter. I'll pause it for you. I'll pin it for you even. Because it breaks it down, Michael Schellenberger breaks it down much better than I can. But within these files, they're discussing that these kids don't understand what they're saying. In one of the discussions that they had, they even mentioned that they didn't see why, you know, for other operations, you don't have to go through psychiatric therapy first. So why should you go with this? But having your appendix out because you've got appendicitis is slightly different than, you know, a mastectomy, or, you know, removing your genitals. Or, you know, taking half your forearm or half your thigh away to create, you know, a Franken-penis.
An appendage.
That doesn't look anything like, you can't use it. You can't even wee through it, let alone use it sexually. It's nothing. It just looks like a skin Louis Vuitton purse. Shoved between your legs. This is not gender-affirming care. That's butchery.
Yeah, it is butchery. And you know something, you touched on something which I've long thought, which is a lot of these parents are so afraid to have a gay son or daughter
yep.
that they will literally sort of just disfigure totally their own children, but as long as they're not gay.
Exactly.
Which I find it's extraordinary.
It's the gay away. It's the new queer in the gay away, except with this one, it's a lot more extreme. And when you're mutilating genitals and, you know, and healthy body parts and stuff like that, I can't help but think there's something more sinister behind that. It's almost like it's a punishment. That's what it feels like.
Yeah. Like it's a punishment. And what's weird is a lot of these parents are quite hippy dippy liberals. They're like, oh yeah, man, you know, anything. Yeah. Like it's a punishment. And what's weird is a lot of these parents are quite hippy dippy liberals. They're like, oh yeah, man, you know, anything goes. But little Timmy, you want to be, we definitely want you to be Tanya because you can't be, because you know, we think you may be gay. It's so insane to me. It's just,
me too. Yeah. But I think there's two sides of the coin. I think there are genuine parents that just are terrified because they've been told, what do you want, a trans kid or a dead kid? But you've also got the social justice parent.
Yeah.
As well.
And on that note, my darling, we have got to go to the news break. So thank you so much. I could talk to you all day. I literally have because we're going to the news. Thank you so much to Jack David, who will be back with us very, very soon on another show. News headlines now. I'm Abby Roberts. This is TNT.